The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com. It's time to streak the quad.
We're going streaking! We're going streaking! Through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody!
And hit the college watering holes.
What is that? That's not beer.
No, it's whiskey. I watered it down, though.
Okay, all right, fine.
With beer. Here we go. Come on.
As we take you back to school for the Border Patrol Blitz, we cover the teams that matter. Kansas, Kansas State, and Missouri. Calling the signals, here's Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady.
All right, let's get things started off as we talk about those Missouri Tigers.
Missouri.
Gabe DeArmond is our guest. What's up, Gabe?
Not much. What's up, Nate? How are you, man?
I'm cruising, man. Big weekend coming up, and Stephen St. John's recovering. He's going to be firing some questions at you here.
That's right.
But first thing I want to ask you is that celebration from Eli Drinkwitz. After beating Arkansas, what did that tell you? That was a very, very happy man after that football game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does prove that, you know, we can talk about how there's not a big difference between 5-7 and 6-6, or how, you know, just qualifying for a bowl game may not be a big deal, but it is to the guys involved and. You know, I think that was a big win for that team, and I think there are people on this team who view this certainly as somewhat of a rivalry at this point in time.
All right, so let's talk about where Mizzou is now. They are awaiting to find out where their bowl destination will be. Give us the possibilities, please. I know a lot of people around here are hoping that there's a Liberty Bowl between Missouri and Kansas. How likely or unlikely is that?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's really Missouri's first choice, in part because Missouri plays Kentucky in basketball at the exact same time. You know, they played a bowl game the night of bragging rights last year and really had to split their fan base, and I know they'd prefer not to do that again. They just went to the Liberty Bowl 3 or 4 years ago. From what I understand, Missouri would like Las Vegas. Not sure the Las Vegas Bowl has Missouri at the top of its list. I think the Texas Bowl might be in play. You know, the Birmingham and the Gasparilla Bowl could come into play if Georgia beats LSU. There's a lot of moving pieces based on, you know, how many teams the SEC gets into the New Year's Six, which rides almost entirely on the outcome of LSU and Georgia.
So, in your opinion, what would be the best possible scenario for Mizzou?
I mean, probably the Las Vegas Bowl. You'd get some credit. You'd be playing a Pac-12 team that is probably ranked. So it would be kind of a situation where a win would look good. You would, you know, have some it's early. I know the players prefer to kind of have these bowl games done before Christmas if they can. It's a new place that a lot of guys haven't been. I would go. So, you know, that's a benefit.
And I know that, like you said, the Kentucky game and everything else, but is there at least some attraction for Mizzou for a Liberty Bowl against Kansas where there would be, I mean, it would actually be a game people would care about, and I feel like there would be a lot of people that would go. I mean, it would be a great crowd, a great atmosphere.
Not to me. I think that there are some Missouri fans that would like it, certainly. I just don't know what the upside there is. I mean, if you go, Missouri's probably going to have a decent number of guys not playing this game. If you beat Kansas, I think a lot of people are going to go, well, yeah, it's been the worst Power 5 program in the country, and they lost 4 of their last 5 or whatever it was. So, way to go. But if you lose, especially 18 days after you might lose to them in basketball, that's going to be rough on Missouri fans. I know some people say, well, you know, you shouldn't be scared to play that game. I don't really see the upside.
Nate?
Well, I mean, what's the question for me?
Well, just what's your reaction to that from a Kansas perspective?
I don't know, man. I don't think I'm the right person to ask. Go ahead.
I mean, Nate, hasn't the argument from Kansas basketball fans for 10 years been, what do we get out of playing this?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of the reverse. Missouri fans have always said, we don't want to, if we play them in basketball, they should have to play us in football. And I get it. I just don't think there's a whole lot of upside there for Missouri in this season where, look, I'm not saying that because I think, like, I don't know if Missouri would win that game. I think... Especially because I think the game would probably be a little more meaningful to KU as far as how many guys are going to play it and stuff. I don't at all know that Missouri would win that game, so that's not my point. I just don't think there's a ton of benefit there.
I mean, I guess it's funny, like, ever since the two schools went their separate ways, I've had zero interest in watching KU play Missouri in football because I knew they would get slaughtered by 30.
Right.
I'm definitely more interested now. Like, I actually think it would be a close game. I'm not saying I think Kansas would definitely win, but I would give them a good shot. I think it would be a close game. And
I agree.
And so from that standpoint, it's like, yeah, that would. But for me personally, as a KU fan, it's like, I'm just glad they're in a freaking bowl, man. Like, I don't, yeah. I don't need them to play Missouri for me to care about this bowl game. Maybe if KU plays in five bowl games in a row against, you know, teams that I don't really care about from other schools, if you want to put Missouri in front of me, then I'll be like, oh, well, that's a lot more interesting. But right now, you could put, name the school, and I'll be excited that KU's playing in it because they're in a bowl game for crying out loud.
Here's the other thing, guys. This game is happening in 2 or 3 years. Like, they're playing again in football. You know, it's already on the schedule. So, play in one that matters, that people are going to show up for. And I know this is an unpopular opinion, but being the age I am, and I think which is pretty close to the age you guys are, I don't know, man. This is, like, MUKU football, it was a rivalry for a couple years. And I understand some people say, well, we play KU and Chess are tiddlywinks. I want to win. I get that, but it's always been more of a basketball rivalry to me.
The best moments in my childhood that made this rivalry great were all on the basketball side until we got to Armageddon at Arrowhead. I mean, that obviously was one of the greatest sporting events I'll ever attend in my entire life, but part of that was because we all knew this ain't ever happening again.
Exactly.
So, yeah. If they play, I'm all for it. I'm not going to be against it. You know, I'm all for it if they play, but I just don't care too much if they do because I'll be excited no matter what as a KU fan.
All right, so the other question is, you mentioned about players not playing. How hard is Mizzou going to get hit by the transfer portal and players not playing in the bowl game?
Well, they've had 9 guys leave so far. Now, only one of those is a contributor. Well, I mean, if you count Jelani Williams as a contributor, maybe 1.5. He played some, started the last couple games because of an injury. But really, they've only lost Dominic Lovett so far. But Isaiah McGuire, Martez Manuel have already said they're going to the NFL draft, not playing. And the question really over the next week or so will be how many other guys, not just transfer, but also NFL draft. I mean, Darius Robinson could go pro. Tyron Hopper could go pro. Chris Abrams, Drain, Jalen Carlisle, like those 4 guys could all decide to declare for the draft and not play in this game. And then the portal. Look, I mean, I saw a report yesterday that Xavier Worthy from Texas was thinking about transferring. I mean, nobody's immune to this, so you can't say there's not a single guy that I look at and say, well, yeah, I'm positive he won't transfer. Who knows?
Well, that's. That sucks, but hey, what are you gonna do?
But it's that way at every school, though. You know, it's not just here; it's everywhere.
But this December 5th is going to be wild, right? This is going to be something we've never seen before.
Yeah, and I mean, leading up to it, we've already seen so many guys say, "I'm going to enter the portal." So I don't know if on December 5th we're going to get a whole bunch more guys that haven't announced yet, or if it's just. Like, we're going to get some today and some tomorrow and some Sunday. I'm not sure how that's going to work. And then I think you'll probably get some that play bowl games and then decide after that they won't leave.
Are you ready to say the basketball team is good?
I don't know if I'm ready to say they're good. I was impressed with the win at Wichita State. A three-week span against Kansas, UCF, Illinois, Kentucky, Arkansas is that's pretty tough. So we'll see what happens. If Missouri could come out 2-3 out of that stretch, I'd be very impressed and start to talk about NCAA tournament as a possibility. I'm not quite ready to go there yet, but I mean, look, all you can do is beat the teams in front of you, and they've done that so far.
By the way, Jesse Newell schooled me yesterday and said that this Missouri KU game that's coming up in basketball by the odds makers is going to be about a pick 'em.
Yeah, I mean, I saw KenPom's prediction of Kansas by a point in Columbia, so that surprised me a little bit. It'll be fun. They announced yesterday it sold out, and I had a ball at walking into Allen last year, and I think Mizzou Arena will be a little bit nuts next Saturday.
All right, Gabe, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it.
All right, guys, have a good one.
All right, let's move on to talk Kansas with a guy who was on the field for those two big, well, for one of the big Armageddons at Arrowhead anyway, Brandon McAnderson.
Kansas.
Yeah, B-Mac, I'm getting sold. I can't remember. Were you there for the touchdown pass to Kerry Meyer 2 or just the first one?
I was just there for the first one. The second one, I was enjoying it like you guys, screaming my head off.
Those memories are great. What do you think this idea of KU possibly playing Missouri in a bowl game this year? Is that a big deal to you?
No. I mean, I guess that, it's good for them to have their, Kansas football history lesson. I think that involves the border war. So I think it's a good thing in that they would get a chance to experience something that's a cool part of being a part of Kansas football. But at the same time, there is like that vacation sense, folks just want to hit the beach kind of thing. And, you don't want to be thinking about your rival while you're doing that. But hey, if that's what it comes to.
Okay, let's talk about where the program is now after the end of what really is the first full year of Lance Leipold at the helm, and we know he got the contract extension and all that. I'm just kind of curious if you could just put into perspective what this year was all about for KU and what it meant for them to get to 6-6 the way it all played out.
Well, it's about them being ahead of schedule. This is a team that I predicted that they'd win 5 games. I thought they would be just below that hump. And what you found was that they're actually closer to the next hump of being, a mid-level competitive, down to the last week of the season team that could compete for a Big 12 title at some point. But they were a little bit closer to that than they were to the bowl game thing. So, with health being a factor, I would have liked to see them stay healthy, but I think they made some huge strides in getting to 6-6 and qualifying for a bowl game.
And you tell me, because you've done a tremendous job all year being up close and in person on the pregame and sidelines. I feel like, it was funny. I remember, so John Kirby usually does this segment for us. I remember talking, I always, get on the phone with him, and we talk before the season starts, and what are you expecting from the team this year? And the first thing he said to me was, they're going to be a lot better. They don't have the depth yet. They don't have the depth to go through the meat grinder that is the Big 12, where you're playing against tough teams every single week. And I just felt like this team got beat up. I mean, they got guys get hurt through the course of the year, and Is that a fair way to look at it? Like, boy, they hit the ground and they were able to compete with just about anybody. But as some of those injuries and just that attrition occurred, is that the next step? Getting that depth where you can get through such a tough full season of games.
Yeah, I think the depth piece was, I think they had more depth than people would expect, especially like across the defensive line and some things like that. I think this was just more about injury luck. They had bad injury luck. They just ended up losing two players that they really needed, and Daniel Hyshaw and Jalen Daniels for a big portion of the season, and mostly because they didn't have what it did to the team, because obviously Jason Bean was super talented and played really well. But the team's just different with Jalen Daniels, and then the team's just very different with Daniel Hyshaw, having like a dynamic playmaker and a hammer. And just to compliment Devin Neal and just to give him a spark when they're struggling a bit. I just think it was injury luck more than it was about depth. But I think their depth was – I think that was the most surprising part, is that they were able to build depth. And I think this coaching staff will continue to do that through the transfer portal.
How crazy do you expect the transfer portal to be? And it's going to be crazy for every team, and so I know that KU's no different. How wild is this going to be?
Oh, I mean, it's free agent. It's college football free agency. You get to see where people are going to go and how people might fit with your program. They got people looking through huddle thumbnails and reading old articles. I think it's good for the sport, and it keeps that interest during the off season to see, you know, who might be joining your team. And, you know, with the deadlines where they are, you know, it kind of speeds up the process. So I like it, and I think people make decisions that are, you know, think that are in their best interest, and maybe some of them are, maybe some of them aren't. You know, but that's a life lesson. You know, they're learning about life. So good luck to them. Hopefully they end up in a Jayhawk uniform.
How important is this time going to be? We were asking Gary Barnett about this yesterday, and he kind of downplayed a little bit, but as a guy who's been through it, going and getting ready for a bowl game and all that, how much value is there in the practices this team's going to get together now that they are going to a bowl game?
It's huge. I mean, it's massive, especially for a program like Kansas. You know, I could talk to you about 10 players that have not played yet that I'm really excited about that are going to be getting important snaps during that time period. Because what you like to do is a lot of your frontline veteran players, you're going to rest them so they can be ready to go for a bowl game. They're going to get work, but not as physical. And then behind that, you're going to get a chance to develop some fundamental things. One of them for Kansas was tackling. You know, as they got beat up, as the season dragged along, they got worse and worse at tackling. They lost contact with those fundamentals. The bowl practices give you a chance to do that. Beyond that, it gives you a chance to see your young players in the system. So every day, what does this guy look like in the system, taking number one reps, you know, dealing with the different mental aspects? How does he handle the physical? You know, it gives you a chance to see, okay, is this somebody that we're going to slot into our two deep moving forward? Is he too far off? Where do we need to improve him? Because these guys are playing scout team all year. They're not running your offense. So it's a real opportunity to evaluate what you have in-house, especially amongst your younger players.
Will you please give me a couple names? You said you give me 10. I'm not going to make you give me 10, but will you give me a couple guys maybe that we should be excited to see that we haven't gotten to see yet playing a Kansas uniform?
Yeah, so DeAndre Dion, I think he played a little bit. He's a Buffalo transfer. He's an interior lineman. He's a guy I think has a bright future. Davion Westmoreland is a defensive end. JUCO guy, he's a guy that you know, has a chance. He played a little bit last week, played a little bit against Baylor as well. They've got linebackers, guys like Krishan Brown, that's kind of been on the cusp of something, an explosive player that might break into something at some point. You got Jalen Dye at the safety, son of Jermaine Dye, who's an athletic player who's going to have a bright future. You know, Jason Gilliam is injured. He won't be playing, but I think that guy's going to factor into being a big-time Jayhawk moving forward. You know, there's guys at the wide receiver position, guys like Keelan Robinson, you know, guys that have played but have not played an extensive role, like Doug Amelian. If you watched Doug Amelian in camp, you'd have been like, this might be the best receiver on the team. You know, he's not played that role for Kansas. He's been more of a blocking receiver, but he can do those things. This is a good chance for him to, what does it look like when he's the number one receiver? How does he move? You know, those kind of things. So there's players all over the field that I'm excited about that need the work and get a chance to see where they end up. Guys like Quentin Lassiter, a guy that's flashed on special teams some, a backup reserve corner, you know, that's going to factor into the future. So there's a lot of guys all over the field that are going to contribute to Kansas football in major ways.
Love it. Great stuff, B-Mac. By the way, Brett McMurphy has tweeted out that Kansas will not play Missouri in a bowl, so no border showdown this year in the bowl game. So we'll see. It'll happen down the road, but not this year, it appears. B-Mac, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate you.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, that is Brandon McAnderson. Now let's talk about a team that is playing for a conference title tomorrow in K-State.
Kansas State.
Matt Walter's been our guy all year long. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Soccer boy, I need an update on Nepal and New Zealand, please, from the World Cup.
Nepal in a stunning upset, did not qualify for this year's World Cup, but the Dalai Lama sends his best.
thank you.
hey, I will be there for USA versus Netherlands tomorrow morning, and that should be perfect timing because that game's at 9 o'clock. It'll be over by 11, and there was a football game down in Fort Worth, Texas that's going on at that time. Matt, and we've spent some time talking with Stan Weber about it this morning. He's given us some good insight on everything. He actually pointed out that this is an opportunity for the first time ever for K-State as a top 10 ranked team to beat a top 10 ranked team. If they do that tomorrow, that'd be the first time ever. More importantly, they'd win a Big 12 title. How excited are you for this game? And how fired up is the K-State fan base, I would imagine, is going to be traveling down to Fort Worth in droves.
Oh, yeah. The fan base is jacked up. There's going to be a healthy crowd in Arlington tomorrow, no doubt. It's been a long time. And, you know, time moves a lot faster the older you get, young man. And it seems like yesterday, but the Cats, the Cats have been a lot of fun to watch and cover this year. And I think tomorrow's going to be a heck of a ball game. At least I hope it materializes that way. There's no reason not to believe it won't.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a great game the first time around. And I think everybody's expecting this one to be a great game the second time around. And look, K-State had a big lead early in that game. They had a couple quarterbacks get knocked out, at least briefly in the course of that game. But that also was kind of the game where Will Howard, it was like, wait a second, oh, Will Howard? You know, when he came into the game, he was incredible. And I have to think he's just gotten more and more comfortable since then. How different is it going to be at the quarterback situation tomorrow than maybe it was the first time around?
Well, I'm thinking about this kind of, throughout the week, Nate. One thing has come to mind. If you don't just look at Will Howard, but you look at the combination of the starting quarterbacks, Will Howard and Max Duggan, These were two guys that were really on the back of milk cartons. You look at what Will Howard's done, and he's playing the best football of his life. Again, he's not been the number one guy from the beginning of a season yet, but what he's done is take over. He's guided the ship perfectly. He's not just put it on cruise control. He's lit it up, and Max Duggan's been the same way. I mean, Max Duggan was a forgotten soul for a while, and he's figured it out. So you got, two outstanding big quarterbacks that can run and can throw. Duggan's a little bit more of a runner than Will Howard is, obviously, but he's still, he still has that ability. But to me, these two guys just exemplify what both teams have done this year and why both teams are inside the top 10 coming into, conference championship weekend.
And look, there's a great running back in Kendre Miller. There's a couple of phenomenal wide receivers for this TCU team. For K-State, what's the biggest priority defensively in this game? Is it slowing that run game down? Is it finding a way to contain those wide receivers? Is there one area in particular the K-State's really got to put their focus in this game, in your opinion?
What makes that so difficult is the fact that Max Duggan runs like he does. To me, I think you have to slow down Kendre Miller, and you cannot let Max Duggan improvise in, on third and 11 when you're thinking pass, the field opens up and then he takes off and he gets 13 and continues to move the chains. If you can keep TCU behind the sticks, and keep them off the field and keep them from getting those big plays, to me, that's what's paramount. You got to start with the run game. And, Nate, the first go-around when K-State did build that big lead and had, Amon G. Carter Stadium extremely quiet was because they grabbed the bull by the horns, so to speak, and they were the aggressor. And then here came all the injuries. Will Howard, Khalid Duke, Daniel Green, Julius Brents. I mean, three of K-State's top studs on defense got knocked out in that game and didn't play the entire game. Well, those guys are back, and I think that makes a difference tomorrow. But you've got to keep Duggan and Miller corralled somehow. You can't let TCU rush for .190, .210 tomorrow, and I think you're going to win the ball game.
And keep your quarterback or quarterbacks upright, because TCU has this uncanny knack for knocking quarterbacks out of games. They did it again last weekend, so we'll see how that plays out. Last question for you, Matt. Special teams can be the X factor in close games like this, and these are maybe the two best special teams units between TCU and K-State, I think, in the Big 12. K-State showed it again in that win over KU. TCU's been great special teams-wise all year. Do you have an edge in this one? I mean, do you have a special teams unit you prefer in this game, or is this going to kind of a push, and how important do you think that's going to be in this game?
I think it's 50-50, and I think maybe, you know, if there's a defensive score, or if there is that special teams score, whether it's a punt or a kick return, that could sway the balance of a ball game. You can use the word push, but both teams are tremendous. And what always, when you get to this point in the season and then you get to the bowl games, the unknown always lurks in the back of my mind, because there are things you haven't seen yet that will likely come out. And is there that surprise play or two that, again, gives TCU or gives K-State that edge tomorrow? That remains to be seen.
It's going to be a great one, Matt. And I understand that Stan told us you guys are traveling commercial because, and I think this is actually awesome, Coach Kleiman's taking the entire team, walk-ons and everybody, going down to Fort Worth. I think that's fantastic. Have a safe trip, buddy. We appreciate the time.
All right, Nate. Have a great weekend.
And I will, and I'll keep you updated on all those soccer scores for
please,
you, bud.
Please do.
There's two games getting ready to kick off in 30 minutes from now. So we'll do an update. We got Matt Beasler coming on the show later. We're going to talk high school football next, though. That is our Border Patrol Blitz. We'll talk about the state playoffs with Dion Clisso on both the Missouri and Kansas side right after this. We still got a little bit of high school football to go over with. Dion Clisso. Good morning, Dion. How are you, man?
Not too bad. I have one question for you, Nate.
Yeah.
Was that you with a tank top on the stage of Power and Light? Is that you I saw with the tank top?
That you might have seen that, yes. I, at one point, was wearing a tank top.
At one point.
Yeah.
It's a curious choice for a man in his 40s, but... back your play if you do it tomorrow in the 30-degree weather.
Well, look, I have an obnoxious American flag hoodie that I was wearing, but they were doing the flex cam, and they were trying to get the crowd into the flex cam, and I just felt like, you know, you got to get into the spirit a little bit. You got to get into character. You're right. I'm making several curious wardrobe choices for a person, really for anybody, but especially a person my age. But you know what? It's fun. It is fun.
There's no doubt about that.
And it's America.
Nothing says America like tank top, but
right.
It's fun to say the least, and definitely enjoyed the game on Tuesday, and looking forward to tomorrow morning. I prefer not 9 a.m. on a Saturday. That being said, football's almost over, so I won't be up quite as late.
There you go.
Tonight as I normally am on Friday, so I can get out of bed, and it kind of gets me in the mode of seventh grade basketball games on Saturday mornings that will be starting next week.
So let's get into what you've still got coming up, and then what maybe we'll recap the Kansas side of everything. What do we have coming up on the Missouri side?
Well, we have two games. One game tonight, you got Fort Osage taking on Francis Howell in the Class 5 state championship game. And, you know, Fort Osage has been here before. They won the title back in 2015, and I think this is their fifth time in the state championship game since 2009. So really consistent program, been doing everything really well, and coming off a really easy win over Cape Girardeau Central last week. Taking on an undefeated Francis Howell team that was normally in Class 6, but this year they dropped down to Class 5. So it's going to be a tough physical game, and I like Fort Osage in this game if they don't turn the ball over. They aren't built really to give teams extra possessions, but they're tough and physical. They play great defense. Their skill guys are really good. Their offensive line and defensive lines are really physical. So I'm looking forward to tonight's game. I think it's going to be a fun one. The coach at Blue Spring South, Alan Wilmus, is a Francis Howe alumni. So we have a little side bet for this game, just having some fun with it. But, I think it could be one of the better games of all the state championship games. And we've already had some great ones on both sides of the state line.
And then what about Adrian versus East Buchanan?
Well, I know if you're living in, you know, Roland Park or up north of the river, you don't maybe think of East Buchanan and Adrian as part of the metro. But they really kind of are in terms of high school football and the coverage that we do at Prep's KC. East Buchanan, defending state champions in Class 1, have done nothing but, put their resume together and say, hey, here we are. And then Adrian, who's been playing great football the last month and a half, 2 months of the season, only two losses in the regular season have been dominant in the postseason. And really, you don't get that many chances to have two, Western side that are this close to Kansas City teams go at it in the Class 1 state championship. I think it's going to be a great game. Adrian's got a really big physical offensive and defensive line. And then East Buchanan has Trevor Klein, who's a great running back, close to 2,000 yards, that scored six touchdowns last week in their win over Duchenne. So it should be a fun game Saturday afternoon. And I would assume these are two towns that really like their football. There's going to be a lot of people from those towns down in Columbia on Saturday.
Okay, so on the Kansas side, let's recap things a little bit. That Mill Valley Miege game, give us a recap of the Mill Valley game against Mays first, right? That was the big one last weekend.
If you're a K-State fan, I was concerned for you the first quarter and a half of that game because the Mill Valley defense, which may be one of the best that I've seen in my 20-plus years covering high school football, they made him look very average. He was harassed and couldn't get anything going, and Mill Valley was up early. And then he got things going and showed how special a player he is. That being said, they only scored 14 points. It's only the 14 points that Mill Valley has given up the entire postseason. Mill Valley wins 28-14. Their offense kind of exploded at the end of the first half, scored two touchdowns in the final minute and a half, 2 minutes to go up 21-7, and then they scored another touchdown right coming out of the break to go up 28-7. They win 28-14, so that's four in a row for Mill Valley in 6 and 8 years. And then you look over at Miege, and they hadn't been in the state championship game in 2 years, and I'm sure their fans felt like it was an eternity. They took on a Wamego team that was very solid, and that was scoreless after one quarter, and they ended up winning 35-14, but Wamego's a team to keep an eye on. But then Miege, they took care of their business, and they've won now 7 and 9 seasons. I think they took the lead now. 11 state titles is the most in Kansas history. So Miege is now, if you go simply by state titles, the best program in the history of the state of Kansas.
Look, you got Marco. He's standing up now.
One more time.
The best program in the history of the state of Kansas.
Go Stags, go, baby.
I can't handle this right now. This is too much for me on a Friday morning. Hey, let's talk about the upcoming Simone Awards. What are some things we should be watching for there?
Well, Tuesday at the Winters High School, four finalists are Kendrick Bell from Park Hill, Caden Green, the offensive lineman from Lee Summit North, Malik Oates from Shawnee Mission Northwest. And just a great group of guys in San Mandine from Liberty North, and just a really deep field this year. It was getting down to that Final Four when the coaches when they vote is not easy. They already handed out four awards. You handed out the Otis Taylor Award to Isaiah Coppage from Bishop Miege. Marco, stand up again. The Bobby Bell to Durock Tafak from Center. The Fontana Award to stand up again. Marco, Mac Armstrong from Bishop Miege. Then last night, Melvin Laster, the junior linebacker from Liberty North, won his second Buck Buchanan Award. He has a chance to become the first ever three-time Buck Buchanan Award winner next year. Just great honors for all those kids. It's a fantastic season of high school football. And the Simone Awards, which are presented by the McCarthy Auto Group, are just a fantastic event. And like I said, Tuesday at the Winters High School, but most people won't find out until that day. it's going to be a great time.
That's when we find out. Hey, Dion, thank you so much for the time, man. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right, go USA.
There you go. Go USA. Now I'm standing up. Now I'm standing up, Marco. Okay. I'm here
one
for
one more thing. There's only two things I don't like in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's culture and the Dutch.
That's a quote from one of the Austin Powers movies. I think it was Goldmember. Is that right?
Yes, that is right. I had to get that in. Sorry, I almost forgot.
Look it up, Marco. See if you can play it for us. That was perfect way to sign off. That's Dion Clisso. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And right now, we are going to talk to JR from JRWins.com, 25 years in the business, professional handicapper, radio host, professional bettor, JR with JRWins.com. JR, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I appreciate you guys having me on. Seriously, it's an absolute privilege to be on your station. And I got to say, I'm pretty excited about this segment. I think we're going to try to get this thing going just about every week throughout the season into the basketball season. And I couldn't be more pumped up and excited, not just for the fans out there and to make people money, but on my end, the expansion of sports betting has taken a whole new level for us, and to be quite frank about it, we are looking to get as many new players in as possible and make as many people as much money as we possibly can. So here's what I'm doing. I'm going to give away what I know you guys are big-time interested in. Now, we've got a huge line as far as information on this Kansas City-Bengals game that's going to be taking place on Sunday. I don't like this game. I love it. So I'm giving it away absolutely free. And here's how I do it. I leave it on a recorded message. It's 30 seconds long. You call the number. You get the winner. It's free on a tape. It's that easy. 800-499-3733. That's 800-499-3733. You get the Bengals-Chiefs game free on the recording. And since it's our first week doing this, I also decided to put the Big 12 championship game on there since I know there's interest out there. So when you call the number, 800-499-3733, you get that Bengals-Chiefs winner, and we're going to give you the winner of the Big 12 championship game between Kansas State and TCU. Take advantage, guys. I don't ever put two games on the machine, but since it's our first interview, I wanted to make a huge impression. So two big blowout winners. Call now. They're free on a recording. 800-499-3733.
You can't beat that. You get the Chiefs and the Bengals and the Big 12 championship game between K-State and TCU. But this game is so big between the Chiefs and the Bengals. You mentioned the Chiefs trying to get revenge for two losses last year, including the AFC championship game, that second-half collapse. Everyone's pointing at this game. The Chiefs need to win to keep that number one seed. The Bengals are trying to win their division. Overall, just anything else that stands out to you about this football game on Sunday?
It does. I mean, let's face it. The Chiefs have been the absolute best in the AFC, very consistent, only a couple of losses this year. Pat Mahomes, definitely without question, the front runner and should be for the MVP. A couple of players out there you might be able to make the argument for. I just don't see it going to anybody else at this point, not only carrying the team, but just getting it done, not just through the air, but also making some really great reads. I really like the way he's progressed after a terrible Super Bowl not too long ago. You know, he's really popped back, and let's face it, he has, even without the weapons that they once had, they're still just an absolute colossal machine on offense, and they're going to go against a team that started off the season very poorly, but has really started to rev things up. Even without Jamar Chase, they'll be able to win games. The offense, without Joe Mixon, you'll be having to look out for P. Ryan in the backfield. You know, this is a team that knows how to score points as well, so, you know, great matchup. 8-3 against the spread are the Bengals, by the way, whereas the Kansas City Chiefs are only 3-7 with a push against the spread, even though they're 9-2 straight up. They're four games under 500 ATS against the spread. So this is going to be a great game. I absolutely love it, and that's why I left the winner for you right there on the recorded message.
What do you think about the over-under? I saw, the last number I saw was 53.
That's right. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that we like to look at is a lot of the action coming in on this game. And early on, it opened up at 51. That's what the odds makers in Vegas thought that the spread on this game should be. But, you know, I mean, let's face it, two prolific offenses, not the greatest defense at being able to stop the pass. And that's exactly why the public has been absolutely hammering the over in this game. It is not just being bet by the public as far as tickets being written by close to 80%, but the money coming in on this game is also close to 80%. So, you know, I mean, look, when I see that the public is on a particular side, side, I look for what the spread did, and we want to see if it went up or down based on the big money that came into it. And obviously, in this case, it has gone up, and it's going to continue to go up. So I like the over here. I think it's going to go over the 52.5 points. I would bet that early, guys. Don't wait till Sunday. That number's going to go to 53, 53.5 by the time you get to kickoff. So lock in the over now.
You know, another really interesting game I wanted to ask you about, the Dolphins and the 49ers. The Dolphins are in the running for the number one seed as well, and it looks like the 49ers have everything together now with all these offensive weapons. What do you think about that matchup?
It's an outstanding matchup. As a matter of fact, the only one I have somebody within my office who keeps just yelling out Tua for MVP, and, you know, he's three games short of being in that conversation. But boy, oh boy, when this guy plays, they are, I'm going to use the same word again, just a prolific offense. Their defense, which was expected to be just an absolute stout defense this year, at least in the top 5 to 10 in the league, has really been a letdown. They are really letting down because the offense has been able to score so many points. And with Tua at the helm and the weapons he's got between Jalen Waddle, you know, let's face it, they have been absolutely rip-roaring. Number one in just about every category and completion percentage. And I mean, you name it, they're getting it done offensively. But they're going against the best defense in the league, arguably. And, you know, the one thing that really stands out to me here is the total on this game is 46.5. Now, it opened at 46.5, and it's still there. And the reason why that kind of made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up was when you've got the best defense going against one of the best offenses, you would expect if they thought that the defense would win the game, that total would be closer to 40, not closer to 50. So to me, I believe strongly that the odds makers, they see something here, and that's why that line has dropped almost a full point from 4.5 to 3.5. I think the odds makers know a little bit more than the public, and that is that the Dolphins are a cleaner team right now. And let's face it, without the injuries, I think that they're going to be able to go into San Francisco, and it's going to be a tough win with the new rules in football for a defense to beat a great offense.
JR from JRWins.com. Again, tell all of our listeners, we've got so many people that are new bettors now that Kansas, you can bet in Kansas. People are putting their toe in the water to see what they like. And JR, tell people again how they could take advantage of all of your experience and help them come up with a strategy and help them, you know what, help them win some money.
Definitely. In fact, guys, it's not just about the wins and losses. Of course, we are the very best when it comes to getting the best information and being able to win a lot more than we lose. But it's not just about the wins. It's about money management. Strategy is paramount when it comes to sports betting. And that's something that we take to a whole new level. And we've got a ton of experience in being able to teach people how to do this the right way, to make the most out of their bankroll, never go all in, never have all your chips in the on the table, and to be able to only put a certain amount of exposure percentage-wise to your bankroll on each game and still have the ability to grow the amounts that you are betting. You don't want to be that guy at the blackjack table who's betting $25 on every hand. You're not going to make money like that. You got to know when to press. You got to know when to pull back, and that is what we are experts at. So let me start you off with two blowout winners. Normally it's just one game I'm going to offer, but this week being the first week, I'm giving you two. The winner of the Chiefs-Bengals is free on the recorded message. Plus, the Big 12 championship game with TCU and Kansas State is also free on the recording. Call now, 800-499-3733. That's 800-499-3733. It's a 30-second short message. Two blowout winners, Chiefs Bengals and TCU K-State, on the recording right now. Guys, let me get you started. Call the number now, 800-499-3733.
JR with JRWins.com. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
It's my pleasure, guys. Be safe, have fun, and go out there and make some money.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.